This past week, the world screamed as one, loudly condemning Russia's annexation of four different provinces in Ukraine. The U.S. led the charge, and Israel's foreign ministry chimed in, quote, "Israel supports the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Ukraine. We will not recognize the annexation of the four provinces by Russia." U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken told the U.N. Security Council last May that when powerful states flout the rules of international law, quote, "it sends the message that others can break those rules with impunity." All Putin has to do to justify the annexations is look at the United States and look at Israel. They both flout the rules of international law. Israel captured East Jerusalem in 1967, formally annexed East Jerusalem in 1980, and by moving the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, that move was a recognition of annexation by the United States. And it was done during Trump's administration. Biden has the power to reverse it, but he appears unwilling to do so. And for the record, the UN Security Council ruled Israel's annexation, quote unquote, null and void in UN Security Council Resolution 478. In 1967, Israel captured the Golan Heights from Syria. Israel annexed the Golan in 1981. The United States became the first country to recognize the annexation, again under Trump. Biden has not reversed it. And once again, the U.S. condemned it as null and void in UN Security Council Resolution 497 and Resolution 242, which underscores the, quote, "inadmissibility of the acquisition of territory by war." And there's the West Bank as well. If you've visited the West Bank, if you've been there, you already know settlements and outposts have been built as far as the eye can see, making the concept of a separate Palestinian state all but impossible to envision. De facto annexation is the reality on the ground, and the U.S. does not use its leverage to stop settlement expansion. As maddening as Putin's moves are, the hypocrisy coming from the United States and Israel is also maddening. I want to hit on one other timely topic on Gaza Corner tonight. For years, it's been common knowledge among Palestinians and human rights organizations, academics, journalists, such as Glenn Greenwald, for example, that Facebook and Instagram have been censoring Palestinian voices critical of the Israeli government, including those who document Israeli state violence. Greenwald wrote a report on December 30th, 2017, in The Intercept, titled, "Facebook says it is deleting accounts at the direction of the United States and Israeli governments." There's a link at the Gaza Corner section of the Tangents playlist at tangents.com. The playlist is just go to the left-hand column and you'll see it. Censorship made huge headlines during Israel's May 2021 11-day bombing assault on Gaza. Both Facebook and Instagram, which are owned by Meta, I'll be using Meta mostly for the rest of this report. They faced allegations of censorship following widespread removal of posts from Palestinians who were simply attempting to document and protest the carnage in Gaza in May 2021. Meta blamed software and human errors. But its oversight board in September 2021 recommended that Facebook commission a report by Business for Social Responsibility, BSR, which is an independent organization with expertise in human rights. For years, digital and human rights organizations have been asking for an independent review of Meta's content moderation policies as a result of what organizations such as Human Rights Watch describe as, quote, constant and deliberate actions to censor the voices and narrative of Palestinians and those in solidarity with them. The much-anticipated report by BSR, again, Business for Social Responsibility, was finally made public on September 22nd, and the report concluded, quote, Meta's actions in May 2021 appear to have had an adverse human rights impact on the rights of Palestinian users, especially activists and journalists, to freedom of expression, freedom of assembly, political participation, and non-discrimination, and therefore on the ability of Palestinians to share information and insights about their experiences as they occurred. BSR also referred to Meta's quote-unquote dangerous individuals and organizations policy, the acronym DOI. DOI contains a roster of thousands of people and groups that Meta's billions of users cannot, quote, praise, support, or represent. The Intercept reports that the policy focuses mostly on Muslim and Middle Eastern entities, which critics believe lead to significant ethnic and religious bias. The report discusses erroneous removal of content and also punishing Arabic-speaking users more heavily than Hebrew-speaking ones. I'll give you a very notable example, which occurred early on during the bombing of Gaza in May 2021. Instagram, which again is owned by Meta, Meta owns Instagram, Facebook, and WhatsApp. Instagram restricted content containing the hashtag Al-Aqsa. Back in May 2021, one of the flashpoints was when Israeli police stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is one of the holiest sites in Islam, and Al-Aqsa Mosque is located in East Jerusalem. The BSR report got to the bottom of it. BSR says that the Al-Aqsa hashtag was added by mistake to a list of terms associated with terrorism. An employee wrongly pulled, quote, from an updated list of terms from the U.S. Treasury Department containing the Al-Aqsa Brigade, resulting in hashtag Al-Aqsa being hidden from search results, unquote. The Al-Aqsa Brigade is considered a terrorist group by Israel and the United States, so just the common word Al-Aqsa caused hashtag Al-Aqsa to disappear from search results. Meta asserts that it is legally bound to censor any mention of groups designated by the U.S. government as a terrorist organization. But legal experts dispute this, and they do so because they believe that Meta is misinterpreting federal anti-terrorism laws. The Brennan Center for Justice called the company's claims of legal obligation a quote-unquote fiction. Another example brought to light by the Business for Social Responsibility report exposed that Meta had built detection software to proactively identify hate speech in Arabic, but had not done so for Hebrew. The BSR report also pointed out that Meta has over $24 billion in cash reserves. $24 billion. Yet, at the time of the report, the staff lacked understanding of other cultures and languages, histories, and also used poor algorithmic technology to govern speech around the world. However, this report found no evidence of intentional bias, and they also found no evidence that in developing or implementing any policies, Facebook and Instagram sought to benefit or harm any particular community. Hamla, the Arab Center for the Advancement of Social Media, which is a group that advocates for Palestinian digital rights, is not buying that conclusion. Hamla wrote, quote, "We believe that the continued censorship for years on Palestinian voices, despite our reports and arguments of such bias, confirms that this is deliberate censorship unless Meta commits to ending it." Human Rights Watch had more to say in a statement that's linked at the Gaza Corner section of the playlist. I'll excerpt a quote. Human Rights Watch: "We have been calling Meta's attention to the disproportionately negative impact of its content moderation on Palestinians for years. Therefore, even if the bias started out as unintentional, after knowing about the issues for years and not taking appropriate action, the unintentional became intentional. Furthermore, though BSR accurately identified many root causes of the over-enforcement of content moderation on Palestinian and Arabic content, they have underestimated the role of the Israeli government. The Israeli cyber unit sends tens of thousands of voluntary content takedown requests annually to Meta, and the company has historically complied around 90% of the time. 90%. This is only one example of many that highlights Israel's special relationship with Meta. Israel leverages this relationship to pressure Meta to take down Palestinian content, as Defense Minister Benny Gantz publicly did during the May 2021 uprisings," unquote. Facebook responded to the BSR report in a press release that's also linked at the Gaza Corner section. The statement uses boilerplate legalese to admit no wrong, and it responded to the 21 BSR recommendations, quote, "We've committed to implementing 10, partly implementing 4, and we're assessing the feasibility of another 6. If you add up 10, 4, and 6, that's 20. That's conceivably 20 of 21. So one, they're not implementing, but it's not really necessary for me to go into. If you're interested, you can read the press release. But I will mention a couple of recommendations. Since May of 2021, which was the time of the Facebook mass removal of these Palestinian posts on Instagram and Facebook, Meta has launched a Hebrew, quote-unquote, hostile speech classifier to help proactively detect Hebrew content in violation of their policies. Meta wants you to believe a big reason many more Palestinian voices are censored than Israeli is because there had been no Hebrew hostile speech classifier, but there was one for Arabic. Meta also says it quickly fixed the problem of hashtags being blocked in ERA so that hashtags that share a common word that is also on their forbidden name list are not blocked. In terms of transparency, Meta says it will implement the BSR recommendation to make public the number of formal reports received from government entities to remove content that either violates local laws or violates content deemed to violate Meta's quote-unquote community standards. Earlier, I mentioned that Human Rights Watch says 90% of Israel's requests to censor Palestinian posts are honored. Going forward, it will be interesting to see how this number is impacted, if at all.